Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the March 21st edition of Commodity Week. Well, this week in Chicago, soybeans suffered, or did they? We'll try to figure that out and so much more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today include Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Well, gentlemen, let's start with this question, and we'll begin with you, Jason Clapp. As you looked at the marketplace for soybeans and you thought about the technicals, did they end the week better than expected?
Actually, I'm leaning the other way. I'm almost thinking that beans are going down in flames like millions of NCAA brackets out there after Mercer beats Duke today. Looking at the technical picture, you start seeing potentially the beginnings of a double top. And I think we've got to look maybe more towards the end of the month and see what we get on our quarterly stocks report for bean ending stocks or quarterly stocks here to see if that double top actually hangs true.
Kurt Kimmel, were you watching the double top too?
Yeah, it stalled out there. That you got some divergences on the momentum indicators indicating, you know, we're due for some type of consolidation or correction in through here. The key will be last week's lows. If we can hold those, we'll still be in that area of consolidation. The thing to watch too is the bull spread, the July no spread. See if it finds support back towards this $2 level. But the beans is sort of a mature market. We saw in widening the spread, they sold the beans and bought back short corn and wheat here throughout the week.
So far, Chip Nellinger, we have one down in flames. We have one consolidation, but leaning to the downside. How about you?
I guess I'd be leaning, agree with both of those comments, leaning more towards the potential down in flames. Added to all the comments earlier, the funds have a record long position. It's a very crowded trade. Lots of warning signs that China slowing down, not only on the bean demand side, but financially as well. I think our March 31st acreage report is could offer a bearish shock to bean acreage. So I guess I'd agree with the previous two comments and, think that we may be putting a big sloppy top in here. But, boy, if the funds ever decide they want out of their long position, there's not enough room through the exit door to get all those out. It could get very, very ugly very quickly.
So in contrast to the feeling of all three of you, the weekly trade finished the May contract in the bean pit, 20 and a quarter cents higher, November up 2 3/4. It was $11.77 and a quarter. Is this a place that producers need to consider doing something more with new crop sales at all, Chip?
Oh, I think without question. Could we get higher and above 12 and a quarter? Yes, probably with some sort of a weather problem down the road. But all those issues we talked about earlier, absolutely. I think a producer has to look at these levels and do some sort of strategy for risk management. Sales covered with calls, puts, something. There's a tremendous amount of downside risk going forward into the growing season.
Neither of the other two of you agree with this assumption?
Well, I would agree from a longer-term point of view. I mean, the numbers we saw this winter, some of the bears were looking at $9. So from a producer's point of view, the risk is to the downside. And last thing we want to do is wait for beans to go to $9, then develop a marketing plan. That's the last thing you want to do.
And, Jason, when you look forward to the USDA report due out at 11 a.m., not next Monday, but the following one, both the acreage and the grain stocks figures, what's your biggest fear at this point? Because the numbers sometimes for the acreage are pointing to a fairly large increase in the beans.
Yeah, you know, as a producer, that's something that, that my dad and I have actually been talking about quite a bit here lately is do we look and make a late season change and maybe plant more beans? So that's, you know, from a marketing standpoint, that's also going to be my fear, is I'm not the only one out there thinking that. So, you know, to agree with the previous two guys, you know, doing something marketing-wise to develop some type of a floor is definitely something that should be considered going into this report, I think.
Turn your attention to the corn market, Jason. We were down 7 cents in the May at $4.79, December at $4.80, down 7 1/4. Which looks worse to you technically, corn or soybeans?
I think it's the soybeans. We're a little supportive of corn here in our office. We actually last week had a gentleman from the Ukraine come in and talk to us a little bit and share with us some information about growing corn and things over in his country. And so with the bleak type of an outlook that he kind of gave us, thinking from kind of a world perspective, I'm a little more supportive of the corn market here where we're at.
Was it an outlook, Jason, that suggested they weren't going to be able to get financing, that they would not be able to move anything into the export channels? Why was he bleak?
It was a little bit of everything. Just kind of the idea that, you know, that country has taken several really good steps forward. And with the potential of some things going on over there, it could be a really big step backwards. Financing was a big concern, and then just basic logistics as well, getting things to move and making sure people don't, you know, get scared and stay in their houses and that type of a thing.
Kurt, I did allude a bit to the technical picture for corn. I'm sure it doesn't look nearly as bad as what soybeans may look like eventually. What do you see in those marketplaces?
Well, technically, you know, corn's just not been as dynamic as the bean market here. Corn has developed a sideways consolidation pattern here after this run-up. Corn on the larger scale is a little bit more oversold versus the beans. I think we're in a kind of position here where the beans can remain under some pressure, and you can see some short curving in the corn cycle. Corn might be a little bit more, you know, supportive here over the week ahead of the numbers here at the end of the month.
Chip, when you take a look at this, there's a lot of corn in the marketplace available, I think, still. Farmers have sold into this market, but we're still at $4.80 kind of in the May, July, September, and December contracts.
Yeah, and I guess I'm a little as long as this corn market can hold those lows from 2 weeks ago, I think we could see some further upside. But I guess I don't want to trust the corn market too much for further gains. So I'm a little maybe less friendly longer term on corn. Like you mentioned, there's still corn available out there. I think you got to get through this acreage report. My fear is I think acres are going to be down, but the total pool of acreage we've got to deal with this year may kind of disappoint the bulls a little bit from an acreage standpoint. That stocks number is a real wild card. But, you know, I think you got to look at the May. We're trading that 200-day moving average right around 474. Funds are now long. You know, they flipped from a big short position to a pretty healthy long position now. If we can't hold that May contract above 474 early next week, it may signal some further liquidation and maybe a little bit of profit taking from those funds.
This may have given me the answer I'm looking for already, but why don't each of you, and we'll start Chip and then Kurt and then Jason, outline what you would do, if anything, in new positions prior to Monday of the acreage report.
Well, I think if any old crop bushels, you know, I think you got to take a look at that. It's either a case of we're gambling into spring and summer on some sort of a weather issue or a drought starting, or we probably need to look at covering something or making some old crop sales here if there's any of those bushels hanging around. From a new crop perspective, same thing. I'm taking a look at some of these shorter dated new crop put strategies. They're shorter dated, but they're still based off the December 14 futures. And, you know, there's a lot of downside risk. So it may not be quite as high as what producers want or would like to start their marketing efforts at, but there's a tremendous amount of risk there, especially if we get this crop in the ground. And my fear is people are getting too bulled up over a wet spring. We're certainly cool and a little bit of a late start, but you know, we can put a lot of corn on the ground in a hurry if the weather conditions turn warmer.
Kurt, between now and that Monday?
Yeah, I agree, Chip, there. I think you need to get caught up in those short-dated options. Excellent way to get some additional downside protection because, you know, total acres is the concern. And, you know, the black boxes will look at those numbers, and if those numbers are higher, they'll step on it right away. And the thing is, we get back below 4.5 and back below 11 bucks, it's doom and gloom again. So the key is to take advantage of these prices here, have some additional downside protection, because when you get down to those levels, you're going to have to generate more cash flow to stay at levels you've been comfortable with over the last couple of years, and that's hard to do if you wait until those lower levels to do that.
And Jason?
Yeah, another strategy to think about is actually calling up your elevator and just getting some cash sales on the books and then covering it with some calls and let the contract work. You know, that way you know the minimum amount you're going to be paid and you're still open to upside potential and capturing that with the bought calls. So that just seems like a pretty solid way to get the ball rolling, so to speak, for new crop marketing.
Let's bring Joe Vaklevic into our conversation. He's in Chicago at Standard Grain. Joe, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Why don't you take up that last topic for me as well? Between now and the Monday of the acreage and grain stocks reports, are you going to make any new positions or look for places to sell corn in particular? Oop, it looks like Mr. Vaklevic may not be with us at the moment. Don't know why that'll be the case, but we'll try to call him back and see what he can come up with. I do have another question for the rest of you. This one came from one of our listeners who was wondering about the livestock numbers across the planet and what that might mean to the marketplace as we look forward. Their question really was, domestically, if we were down on beef numbers and we were maybe down on total number of hogs, with PEDV, how would the global marketplace look, and will it make up for any lack of domestic usage? And, Kurt, why don't you take that one up to begin with? And then follow up, guys, for me, would you please?
Well, the total numbers here is, you know, definitely lower, especially in beef numbers. We've been down from the numbers we saw in the 50s and 60s. But the thing is, total tonnage is still growing. We're becoming more efficient, putting more pounds on. We'll probably see our numbers go down, but world growth continues in tonnage. One thing that the trade was probably missing on the outlook meetings here this winter, they're all interested in acreage and price and so forth, but the global grain trade and projection out 10 years, they expected bean and products to grow over 7 million metric tons here over the next 10 years. So they're quite optimistic on world global trade and this consumption going to grain demand, especially in China, because we feed about 5.3 billion bushels of corn, and China feeds about 6 billion bushels of corn, but China has about 10 times more hogs. So the hog numbers are going to stay probably where they are, but the efficiency is going to go up, because when you go to the county fair and see these hogs today, they're just a lean, mean, eating corn and meal machine.
Let's turn our attention back to Joe Vaklevic from Chicago. He should be on the phone line now with us. Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Very, very good.
Can you take me through the situation in Chicago and what the traders are thinking about for the world marketplace, corn and beans both?
A couple of things. I guess the first thing on our radar would be this Ukraine situation. Initially, I guess that's probably kind of the short-term thing. Maybe there's still a little bit of risk premium in this corn market because of that. You know, while tensions seem to have eased just a little bit here momentarily, I think moving forward, the future of exports out of Ukraine and Russia in regards to corn are both kind of uncertain. Soybeans, I guess the big discussion or the rumors floating around this week was that you know, this weaker economic situation and weaker feed demand in China may have an adverse impact on soybean imports. A lot of rumors that both Brazilian and U.S. cargoes that were bought by China initially may have been canceled or switched here this week.
Jason, you have a question for Joe?
Yeah, Joe, can you tell me from your desk and talking to maybe some more of your commercial elevator clients, what have they been up to lately? How has this terribly adverse winter been with them as far as their stocks and shipments and everything is concerned?
I think that there's been some logistics problems here and there. You know, we've had rail issues. We've had issues with the river system, and that may continue as we get this big meltdown of all this snow. The thing that I usually ask those type of customers about is, you know, what kind of corn are you buying? What kind of soybeans are you buying? What kind of new crop do you have booked? And I think that's similar to the last couple of years. There's still not a whole lot of new crop corn or soybeans booked relative to what we've seen in the past. I still think that there's a lot of farmers out there that would like to see some higher prices here. I think that, you know, 480 Dease corn and 1180 no beans are just very cheap relative to what's been out there the last 3 or 4 years. And right or wrong, I still think that there's a lot of unpriced new crop grain, even still a lot of old crop corn out there in particular that has been priced.
Joe, when we look at these reports coming up, hog and pig report and stocks report and acres report, what numbers are you going to be looking real close at as we go through the next week?
Well, the planting intentions obviously is the real big one that sticks out, and the range of estimates out there is just so wide. I didn't hear what you guys had to say about it earlier, but I mean, corn acreage anywhere from 90 to 95 million is kind of the range of guesses I'm hearing, which is just a phenomenally high range. I think that that will obviously be the biggest potential market mover here over the near term. With this hog situation, I mean, what a coin flip this thing could be moving forward. You know, we're pricing in the worst as far as this PED virus goes right now. The market's uncertain. We don't know what the future of that's going to bring. You see the cold storage numbers here today, and it certainly looks like people in the industry are kind of loading up for what could be a major shortfall this spring and summer. Tons of uncertainty there, and really on both fronts, I suppose.
Joe, any comments here logistically? We're hearing a lot about this rail transportation issue, particularly in the Northern Plains. Any thoughts on what that could mean longer term here, or any thoughts there?
It seems to me like it'll be kind of a flash in the pan type issue. I don't see there being any long-term infrastructure issues in the United States or even in Canada for that matter, but I think short-term it could make things difficult for exporters. It can make things difficult for grain buyers. It could affect basis levels, which is probably what would affect the farmer more than anything. You know, take an area like North Dakota, for example, where the rail lines are loaded up with oil, and they've got too much corn up there as it is, and you've just got terrible, terrible basis levels. You know, you don't want to see that necessarily translate into poor basis levels elsewhere, but that could be the effect over the near term, I suppose.
You mentioned the hog market. They gapped higher for the week, up $6.37.5. How much more do they have in upside potential?
Oh, picking a top in a market like this is an exercise in futility. I've never seen anybody have any success with it. I do believe that there's plenty of downside risk if you're a hog producer that does have healthy animals, but we have no idea where the top in this thing could be. We don't know what the long-term impacts or even the short-term impacts of PED are going to be. We don't know what managed money and the powers that be in that sector have to say about this thing just yet. Obviously, everything still looks very friendly. You've got a chart that is just gone totally parabolic here. And like I said, I wouldn't even try to pick a top in this thing. I think that, you know, a 130 to 140 to even 150 trade would be possible.
You're, of course, listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists and guests include Joe Vaklevic, who you just heard. He's in Chicago at Standard Grain on the phone line with us as well. Jason Clapp out of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing is with us in Morton, Illinois as well. You can always find us online. That's at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Now, here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for the week. On the weekly trade, the nearby May contract went to a high at $4.91¾ and a low at $4.76. Remember, this is for all trade during the week. The settlement price was down 7 cents. May corn at $4.79. December corn at $4.80 was 7¼ cents lower than it was the previous Friday. Soy complex, May beans, $14.56½, the week's high, the low at $13.75½. Settlement price on the week was 20¼ cents higher than the previous Friday at $14.08¾. November beans at $11.77¼ finished 2¾ of a cent higher for the week. Bean meal at $4.55.90, up $11.90. Bean oil at $41.02, down $1.27. Soft red winter wheat went to a high of $7.23½ for the week, the low at $6.71¾. Settlement price there at $6.93¼, up 6 cents. July at $6.95½, up 5¼. April live cattle at $144 even finished the week, $1.25 lower than it did the previous Friday. And April feeders at $175.27½ were down $1.95, but they did not fill the gap on the way down that was left from a couple of weeks ago. Lean hogs, on the other hand, gapped higher this week, $125.67½. The settlement price, $6.37½ higher for the week, Friday to Friday. Now here's meteorologist Ed Kieser.
In this last weekly weather report for the season for South America, the focus is on conditions heading into harvest. During the past week, a frontal system has slowly moved northward, producing heavy rain in some spots. Getting into the specifics, will start in Argentina and work northward into Brazil. For most of Argentina, rain fell last weekend. Then as the front pushed into Brazil and Paraguay, dry and pleasant weather took over in its wake, allowing fields to finally dry out. And the forecast for the coming week is just what is needed for harvest operations to ramp up, as mostly dry and warmer weather is expected. Longer-range models are hinting at periodic showers and thunderstorms starting next weekend and beyond. That could eventually lead to periodic delays, but this next week will be prime time weather-wise for field work in Argentina. The slow-moving front impacted South Brazil and Paraguay the most this week. A couple of days of heavy rain have put field work at a standstill in many locations. Drier weather is just now returning. Improvement for field work is expected as we move through next week. Heading into the final days of March and early April, occasional rain should return. The recent rainfall did bring beneficial moisture for second-season corn, especially in Paraná. Farther north, Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul got some needed drying early in the week, but showers and thunderstorms have now returned and will be around periodically into the coming week. The rain will keep second season crops beneficially moist, but keep harvest slow. Dry weather dominated across Goiás, Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais, and Bahia most of this past week, with wetter weather now moving into the area, especially Goiás and Sao Paulo. Showers and thunderstorms will occur at times during the next couple of weeks, aiding second-season corn that has struggled in drought conditions.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 21st day of March. Joe, I'd like you to take Mr. Vaklevic up the feeder cattle for me as well. We talked about the gap higher in the April lean hogs. The feeder cattle were down $1.95 in the April's at $175.27½. They tried but did not fill the gap on the bottom side. Does that pique your interest in that marketplace at all?
I'd like to see how the market starts off next week following this cattle on feed report. The placements number in particular this afternoon was seen as being a little bit negative at 115%. But that feeder cattle market has been about the strongest bull market out there. Feeder cattle and fat cattle together, I suppose. It's been a very slow walk higher. There's been very little volatility, all things considered, when you look at the magnitude of that rally over the last several months. So yeah, I'm concerned that maybe we saw a top here this week, especially with that cattle on feed number being a little bit negative and the sell off we saw yesterday. you know, in the broader scheme of things, if we were to see this U.S. dollar continue to rally here into next week as it did this week, I think that would be additional reasoning for some of these larger funds to get out of commodities as a whole, which could certainly pressure cattle and feeder cattle, which have both been in big-time uptrends and have a lot of managed money in the markets.
Jason, you have another question for Joe?
Yeah, in regards to the cattle market, Joe, what do you think it would take to break this market down and get away from these highs to a substantial amount? Is it just time, or would some kind of a market report have an effect on that, or do we have maybe some time to spend here at these higher levels?
I think at this point, I think we've got some time to spend up here yet. The cash market's really telling the tale. We've had positive basis for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So looking very, very short term, this April cattle, you know, yeah, sure, over the next few days, maybe we sell off because of a bearish on feed report today, but longer term, we're moving towards expiration. I mean, at some point, this cash market and April contract have to come together. Looking at the big picture, I think some rains this spring and summer would go a long way into increasing the cattle herd here in the U.S. and really improving that situation. But things remain very, very dry out west. If you look at that updated drought monitor this week, we've really seen very, very little improvement. We're looking for a rain system potentially during the first week of April, perhaps for part of the plains, which might help out a little bit. That would also help out the winter wheat crop quite a bit. But I still see a pretty friendly scenario moving forward here, to be honest with you.
And finally, it is time to wrap the program up. Joe, let's start with you. A final word from you, piece of wisdom you'd like to make sure that listeners understand and take to heart.
The planting intentions report, March 31st, generally or historically associated with big, big, big volatility. Couldn't tell you what it's going to say, couldn't tell you what we're going to do this year, but there's a lot of risk heading into this thing. I know that a lot of farmers often wait till the last minute to do hedging or marketing business before the report. Might be better to be early to the party this year.
And Joe Vaclavic, of course, is with Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us as our special guest in Lafayette, Indiana. Jason Clapp is at Risk Management Commodities. Jason?
Yeah, more of following along the lines of what Joe said there, going into the spring, you know, definitely make sure that you've got offers working with either brokers or the grain elevator because, you know, as we all know, when we climb in those tractors and start planting corn, we become focused on one thing and can forget some of the other aspects of our operations. So.
And Kurt Kimmel out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois.
Look for June hogs to trade higher than June cattle in the very, very near term.
And finally, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois.
Well, I'd say with now the commodity fund length in all three of our major grain markets, big longs, record longs in beans, now long in wheat, and a large long position in corn, don't get lulled into thinking that we've got a wet spring coming and higher prices. Lots of risk, as Joe alluded to earlier. Have a plan. Don't think we have to go to 550 corn just because it's a little too cool here to start the spring. So a lot of risk. Have a plan. Don't get bowled up on a wet spring or a drought potential because if it doesn't pan out, there's a lot of fuel in this market with funds getting out of longs and getting back short to push us into ultimately lot lower lows.
Our thanks, of course, go to our panelists and guests here on this 21st day of March, a Friday afternoon for Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.